look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population, and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because they said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, to say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in their new world order.
Hydra has been secretly feeding Christ, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was
too high. Here's what we know. We know that the people who are dying from this disease are 11-fold more likely to pass if they are...
What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
But friend, you are my only friend.
What the hell are you doing with this creep, huh, Benny? What's in it for you?
It is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. As long as I serve him, I am immune.
From what?
Pitch cash a lot.
What did you say?
I don't want to tell you. You just hurt me so much.
Now, as we struggle out of the shadow of our malefactors, welcome back to the light.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am
vengeance.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives, that you can never take our freedom? Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You, we must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friend. By God, we must live, and with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join St. Michael and all the angels in defending God and setting Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong. All storms. Yes. The storm is upon us. But not without Jesus, our rudder.
The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide
who are capable
of such crimes against our nation are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me. And this will be our last chance.
And I've seen people quitting.
Hey, rats! Rats!
Dale! Did you have a plan if you responded?
I didn't think that far ahead.
You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive truth with a bite. Did you miss me? It's been a couple of months since we did a show, and stupid has gone off the charts. But I'm back, and we'll try to get through this. Don't know how long we'll go. Don't know if anybody's listening. Don't much care. Just going to get this off my chest. But if you are listening and you want to talk to Rex, call the number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. A time is coming when men will go mad. And when they see someone who is not mad, they will attack him, saying, "You are mad. You are not like us." St. Anthony the Great. That was the theme of the last show back in February, before the unprecedented illegal invasion of Russian man-bad of innocent democratic bastion Ukraine. And you should probably listen to it. I'll probably end up repeating most of what I said in the show 2 months ago because... well, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And the more they stay the same, the more insane they get. But we are in the midst of the Easter season. It is bright Sunday. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee from before his face. The King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in war. We are at war. And we've been at war. The war will not end. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return. Come." It's from the 21st chapter of Isaiah. Ponder it. Now, some people, especially our modern intelligentsia and their acolytes, consider the Bible a series of mythological tales on par with the Greek myths and the myths of all the other cultures around the planet. And that is not true. But that is the predominant modern erudite view. And many possibly sincerely believing Christians, when I say sincerely believing, lovers of Christ, but a lot of you are book fetishists, and you consider the Bible the be-all, end-all of the faith. The Bible is a library of books written over millennia, inspired by God for your edification. The scriptures are liturgical books. Liturgy is the work we have before us. But we live in an era that is very logical, rational, and scientific. We don't believe in myths. We are far too sophisticated for such things. Is that true? Or is it simply that the new science, the new reason, the new logic, the new forms, the new technology is merely based on tired myths repackaged for modern sensibilities? The mythology is the precursor to philosophy, and it informs you of the things in which to believe. Oh, no, Rex, Rex. I'm a modern, smart person. You religious freaks don't know anything. You know, I only deal with facts and reason and logic. Well, all of those things are based on what you believe. Because you didn't create those things. You have to grasp at those things. And you have to cobble them together inside your mind as you form an identity of yourself in relation to the external world. Or if you're Elon Musk, you form an idea of a relation to a simulation like Neo from The Matrix. But it's all based on belief. It's all mythology. Unless that myth be true, as in a revealed myth, then it is necessarily a lie. However, sometimes the myths can be useful, especially in cultural and societal formation, or, when applied by the enemy, useful in disformation. Disformation. And that's really what we're talking about. Disformation. Deformation. Rendering the lie to be reality. As in darkness. And our age is so dark. We refer to that middle period of history, which is also a kind of myth. It's not simply a chronicle. Really, it's history, it's the unfolding in time, the revelation of God and his relationship with his people. But the chronicle format, the narrative format of what we know of the past, it's often myth. And we call the Dark Ages that period from the fall of the Western Roman Empire sometime between 410 and 475 and the Renaissance in the 1450s. Now, the Renaissance is a little bit later, but you get the idea. It's the humanist, Milanese kind of milieu of, ad fontes Greek revivalism of antiquity, kind of burst forth in Western Europe at that time. The period between, roughly 1,000 years, is referred to as the Dark Ages. But the ages in which we're in now are even darker. And yet the whole planet is illuminated by an electric grid. This darkness is dazzlingly bright. But darkness it is. And if you're mired in darkness, you cannot comprehend the light. Ignorance is not bliss. It is willful blindness. We're cave dwellers groping in the dark, grasping nothing, and lamenting the undead, lifeless zombies who parade through this non-existence, this virtual reality that is becoming increasingly more and more digital. Understanding is required. But understanding is based on what you believe. Until you understand the pre-political, you will never achieve the post-dialectical. There is a level of reality is pre-political. There is an era in human history that is pre-political. But modern liberalism, both the conservative and progressive variety, including so-called classical liberalism, really just Enlightenment era errors, or libertarianism, it renders everything political, especially in republican government forms. To an extreme in both the Marxist-Leninist variety and the Western democratic sort. Everything becomes political by making everything ideological, based on ideas and not on reality. See, the ancient Greeks, before they took that dive into the abyss of philosophy had an oral tradition of mythology. Now, sometimes it was written. That's why we have a little bit of it, especially as it developed in the Minoan era and that sort of thing. You know, even in the what we call the Middle East today, the Sumerian epics of Gilgamesh. Mythology was mostly an oral tradition passed on from generation to generation to kind of explain the world in which you found yourself. And it was far more concrete than the ideologies that you believe in today. We live in an ideological age based on ideas and not on reality. In fact, reality is imperceptible because there is no epistemology, which renders philosophy and metaphysics impossible. Crushing truth under corruption and the imagined yet manifest meta-narrative of do as thou wilt and the will to power. And politics is not about parties and principles and personalities. It's about one thing and one thing only. Politics is about power. Therefore, it is always war, a prelude to war, and the conclusion of war. Because politics is about power. And power has been on display in massive ways since Trump came down the escalator. And his presidency was rolled up in March 2020, and Biden was installed in 2021. And it was all about power. He wrested it, and they took it from him. And now a counterpower has arisen. Counterpower has arisen, which means you're about to witness severe power abused and the frenetic deployment of disinformation like you have never seen. Believe me, it'll be huge. Reforming this disaster is an exercise in tilting at windmills. It's pretending to do something that amounts to nothing. There is no such thing as reform available to you. That is simply a myth designed to cuck you, to negate you, to delay you, to stall you, to slow walk you, to appease you, to give you a glimmer of hopium as the boot comes down and stamps on your face. Corrupt societies cannot be reformed within the corrupt form. Corrupt societies cannot be reformed within the corrupt form. A cataclysmic catalyst is required. Your concern cannot be restoring that which was before, but rather surviving the inevitable destruction and preparing to build something new upon fundamentally different foundations. This requires an ontological foundation oriented toward truth. You cannot avoid the collision that's coming. You can only direct its aftermath. We are swiftly approaching the event horizon, and the task ahead is more daunting than anything you have ever imagined.
Oh, Rex, you're depressing me and you're scaring me. Good, I should be scaring you. This is pretty scary.
Now, it's also pretty exciting if you have the right disposition, which unfortunately most of you don't.
Most people, especially in America, don't have the right disposition and can't grasp what is happening. But it is going to be a disaster. But disasters are part of human history, and disasters are very instructive. Disasters are not meant to be avoided. They are meant to be survived and transfigured into something better. They say that the end of history, at least of the West, occurred in 1992, at least according to Fukuyama. Right, so it was the end of history. Well, apparently the end of history is an endless end with no end for the West. It's like a perpetual end. We're in a state of a perpetual midnight. As the midnight sun sets again and again and again, it'll grow darker and darker and darker. And the nothingness will expand and extend until the end of the aeon, as the man of nothing shrinks smaller and smaller without diminishing, as he stands firmly in the abyss and looks up to the sky, doesn't exist. Acknowledge the torture of nothing, perpetual annihilation without end. That is the first step in bringing the endless end to an end. That sounds pretty ominous. It sounds pretty dark. And the fact of the matter is, it is. It's horrible. But we let ourselves get here. The West has fallen. You live among the ruins. Now, you've got massive technological power. You've got massive wealth, despite the chaos that Brandon has wrought. You are still extremely wealthy, relatively speaking. And while things may not be as good as they were, or as good as they could have gotten, they're still pretty darn functional, which gives a veneer of efficacy and success, which hides the fact that the West has fallen and you live among the ruins. Stop acting as if it is worth saving. The West has been destroyed. Build something better. But you see, we're creatures of familiarity and comfort. We like the things that give us comfort in knowing what they are and how they work. So we cling to the past, which doesn't exist anymore. And we hope in the future, which hasn't arrived. But we're very good at ignoring the moment in which we're in for anything beyond the satisfaction of our disordered passions. But the West has been destroyed. And now is the opportunity to build something better, if you can get your head out of your ass. The modern Western civilization is based on universals, which is to say a universal deceit, a big lie, the liar and murderer from the beginning. The truth is, the reality is, the most concrete thing that you can ever experience is there is only one universal, the Pantocrator, the Almighty. All else is a particular. Most of the particulars are shit. Don't be shit. That shit really helps. I know it's scary, and I'm not being funny, and I'm not even sure anybody's listening to me. But it doesn't matter. This has to be said. See, if the history that resides in you is crushed, ignored, and disfigured, what hope is there for the future that is alive and born in your soul right now? See, we've been conditioned to forget, to unremember. So much forgetting.
So little is remembered. And we have an impulse to dismember ourselves, born of the entropy that pierces the heart of the cosmos, the nothingness from whence all came. Because it all came from nothing. And sometimes it seems like we have a desire to get back to nothing, which is not possible. But it's like a latent memory of non-existence, of non-being, that we're driving ourselves to. This kind of nihilistic fetish of the modern mind. In the Christian mythos, God formed Adam out of the earth, the clay and the dirt of the earth. Well, that's true. I mean, look at what brings you health. Things of the earth. Calcium, copper, magnesium, vitamins, minerals. These are the things that nutrify the body because the body is of the earth. But whence came the earth? Oh, well, it's, you know, based on a solar disk and it cooled down and planets formed and spin around the sun. Okay. That's all well and good, but that doesn't actually tell you where any of it came from. Oh, well, there was a singularity, a big bang. Again, it doesn't explain where it all came from. It came from nothing. And nobody, no human being ever came up with the idea that all came from nothing until it was revealed by the one who brought all out of nothing in the first place. This is why you have to base your reality on what is revealed to you by the one who authored reality. Otherwise, you will not be able to comprehend what is happening, and you will not be able to apprehend the truth, because you're already living in a lie. Become being and cease the seductive nothingness of this fading aeon. Little idols that we worship every day, prepare our hearts for the worship of the passing things of this world, leading to the ultimate deception of idolatry. Now, most of us in our modern myths, especially those propagated by Hollywood, because movie making is a form of myth-telling. And one of those myths is based on a real myth, starring Charlton Heston. It's called The Ten Commandments. I think they remade it recently, but I didn't see it because most of what Hollywood makes these days is shit. But when we think of idolatry, we think of the golden calf, the graven image, and worshiping an inanimate object. But it's so much deeper than that. Idolatry is putting some object, even if it is an idea, before God and making it our purpose and that which we worship. And it becomes the cult around which we center everything. Cult, that which we worship, which leads to culture. And then the culture is mired in idolatry. We worship the almighty dollar, even though it's a Federal Reserve note. We worship the almighty orgasm, even though the orgasm has a purpose, and most of the time that's not what we're talking about. These are the things that we turn into idols. Some of you have turned an icon of the word into an idol. Icon of the word. It's an icon because the Bible is a bound book these days printed with words, or actually pictures that represent sounds that form words, translated into a language with which we are familiar, even though it wasn't the language it was originally written in, of the Word of God. But some of you have elevated it, your book fetish, into an idol instead of viewing it as an icon, a representation of the Word. The Word is real. The Bible is an iconic representation of that which is real. It isn't the be-all, end-all.
You really have to get that through your heads, because the devil knows Scripture. And the devil is more proficient than you and more intelligent than you in using Scripture to further his lies. Idols we worship every day. Prepare our hearts for the worship of the passing things of this world, leading to the ultimate deception of idolatry. And the advent of this techno-magic dark age of worshiping the false angel god who feigns rule and delivers death. This is what's happening. You should find Butch Robinson's blog. I don't have the address in front of me, but you can find Butch Robinson. Well, currently on Facebook, you have to find Archpriest Simeon Elias, but he is Bond Robin on Gab. And Bond Robin on BitChute, Rumble, and Gab TV. And look up his article about the beast is loose and the beast is technology. It is quite excellent, and it'll actually go deeper than I'll have time for today, but you should check that out. And also check out the videos. I mean, I haven't done a show since February, but frankly, for the most part, I was so pissed off at the idiocy that surrounds me that I just couldn't even talk to you. Because I would have said nothing pleasant. Well, you're not saying anything pleasant now, Rex. Well, believe me, it's far more pleasant than it would have been. But Butch covered everything that I would have discussed, and some of my stuff found its way into his videos. But check those out if you haven't already. You know, subscribe and like and all that stuff, because that's how we have to build things to defeat the algorithms and the human manipulators. But that's the dark age in which we find ourselves, and it's so dazzlingly bright that we don't see it. And some will die resisting this at the hands of those who will die because they worship the anodyne evil one. They don't know that they're, you know, worshiping, quote, Satan, right? They're not formal ritualistic Satanists. But we live in a Luciferian age of do as thou wilt. I will not serve. I will do what I want. And it's anodyne because it's covered up and couched in language that makes it feel nice. Acceptance, tolerance, love, kindness, niceties, politeness. We discuss things that are horrible in an anodyne manner, leading us to worship without even feeling that we're doing so. That's what idolatry does to you. You may think this might not happen. You may think this will happen, but that it is, you know, far, far into the future. What you can't see is that this has already come to pass, and you're in the midst of it. We are in the midst of the zombie apocalypse. It isn't some far-off future event. It's the mythology that is existing right now. It's been constructed, unleashed, and you're in the middle of it. And that is often the most difficult time to see something without the perspective of history or the anticipation of future. But now is what matters. Now is the time to pay attention to what's actually happening. Because you're in the midst of it. And Revelation, bedrock on which you can base what you believe. Because God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, declared that he is, I am, Lucifer, the most intelligent, most powerful, most beautiful, glorious of the angelic beings that God created, was exiled from grace through voluntary action. He chose it. He wasn't punished and evicted. He exiled himself voluntarily. He is the one who declares, I am who am not. I am who am not. That is the mantra of the devil.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
It's a neat trick, and he pulled it. He pulled it well. And the chasm of nihilism swallows billions like a huge gaping maw of mortality. And the chasm of chaos opens an unbridgeable gap between truth and nothing. There is no commonality shared between love and the lie. There is no commonality between love and the lie. It's madness to live the lie. There is a limit to men, hence it's not infinite. The question is, why does madness exist in the first place? It doesn't. It is simply manifest as a negation of sanity, and God permits it to extend to the limit. God permits madness and evil to extend to the limit that he sets. And this is what we call the problem of liberty.
Wait, Rex, your show's called Liberty's Thunder, and you're telling me liberty's a problem?
Yes, a problem of liberty. How can liberty be a problem? Because contingent beings, men and angels, who are wounded by lack, divergence, contradiction, you know, we're prone to abusing freedom. We're given freedom to become who we are. We're prone to abusing that freedom by striving to become who we are not. It's nothing, really. I mean, it is nothing. That's really something spectacular when you think about it. It really hurts to get it wrong. It hurts to not grasp the reality, the truth, the concreteness of being because of our lack, our wounded nature, our fallen status, our limits, our pain. It hurts to get it wrong. But that pain can be used to get it right. And that makes it even more impressive. It's more impressive not because of our efforts, because our efforts are really almost meaningless. It's not your effort that matters. It's his mercy. It's his mercy in which we live. Because we come from nothing, we live by his grace, and it is only by his mercy that we can recover from the state in which we find ourselves. Now, sometimes when I say nothing, you don't know what that is. I don't know what nothing is. I mean, nothing literally is no thing. It's not an empty space. It's not something invisible. It's nothing. It's not a thing. In other words, it has no existence. It's not like there's God and then there's nothing, which is a thing out of which he created. It's no thing. It's non-existence, non-being. It's nothing. You thought that Seinfeld was a show about nothing. This world is a show about nothing if you don't trend toward truth and reality and love. I mean, a brief look at a history of nothing. Take a close look at Western philosophistry that we often refer to as philosophy, right? The love of wisdom. It's philosophistry is what it is. From Heraclitus and Anaximander, Hegel and Nietzsche, it reveals that something is missing. Someone is missing. It is a history of words devoid of energy and therefore devoid of meaning. It's basically about no thing, no one, no one. And as Descartes and Kant clearly elucidated, ultimately it leads to precisely that which the Fab Four from Tavistock sang about, or hypnotize you about, nowhere. He's a nowhere man living in his nowhere land, saying nothing to nobody. It's about nothing. It's devoid of the energetic manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Your life is an absurd sitcom about nothing. Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza.
Make it about something. Stop making it about nothing. Stop making it about nothing and stop making it about idols of nothing that seem like something but aren't. Make it about truth. Make it about love. Make it about reality. Make it about life, not just biological life, but that life energy of the Holy Spirit that resides in you. Because as you sit there, a lot of people who follow me are aware of my position regarding the mess in Ukraine. And most of you get it, I think, right? But there are many people, most of the ones that walk around lifeless, dead look in their eyes, talking about nothing, they're clutching their pearls over World War III in Ukraine because of Russia. Russia. Can't believe it. They're worse than Nazi Germany. It's important to remember that the genocide is still happening on a global scale. The genocide. And it's not a genocide in Ukraine. There was a genocide in Ukraine, a horrible one. It's called the Holodomor. 20 million were killed, murdered. That was a genocide. This war is not a genocide. Yes, innocent people are dying. It sucks when people die. We're all going to die. And it sucks every single time. But it's not a genocide. In fact, I would argue that once we actually find out, if we ever do, the actual operations of the Russian army, it might be one of the grandest military strategies ever devised, and the level of restraint to protect civilian life will be off the charts. And you think we're the good guys, because every time we don't want to go, you know, deliver some democracy to some shithole around the world, the first thing we do is bomb the shit out of it with shock and awe, wiping out all their infrastructure, sewage, communication, water, electricity, and then we go in as cops in a mop-up operation. It's exactly the opposite of what the Russians have done. The genocide is still happening on a global scale. Stealth genocide, as Butch Robinson puts it. This genocide was completely avoidable. You need to understand that. This genocide was completely avoidable. See, sometimes there's this fatalism that puts it, the New World Order globalists are so powerful we can't do anything to stop them. Bullshit. That's what they want you to think. Their arrogance is only surpassed, their incompetence is only surpassed by their arrogance. Right? This was a avoidable genocide. Many of us, me, Butch, so many other people, warned that it was coming and what you could do to prevent it. But we didn't. We let it happen. We're still letting it happen. They just approved remdesivir for children. They're going to kill babies and children with the treatment for the COVID. We're still letting it happen. We choose to believe that somehow masking, you know, putting a diaper over your face, killed the flu virus, which apparently comes every year, while it did nothing to stop the COVID, right? You know, I mean, I've had people say, you know, look, where'd they get the COVID numbers? I'm like, well, did you notice that when they got their COVID numbers up, the flu numbers were practically non-existent? Maybe they just shipped the respiratory virus known as the flu that kills, unfortunately, a lot of people every year and marked them as COVID. Well, no, I think the flu virus, we didn't have a flu season this year because we were all wearing masks. Well, if that's true, right, if masks prevented the flu, then we should wear them every year, right, to prevent the flu. But how does it prevent influenza, a respiratory virus, and not prevent COVID if, in fact, COVID is a respiratory virus? How does that make sense? See, it's not about thinking. It's not about truth. It's not about facts. It's not about reality. It's about the myth, the COVID myth. You know, we're still pretending that young people, well, we're not pretending that young people are dying. The facts are out there. I mean, the actuarial numbers are real, right? We pretend that young people are dying suddenly for no reason. Just all of a sudden, young people just started dropping dead in unprecedented numbers, 84% excess, more than ever. And, you know, there's no reason for it. We're not really sure what the reason is. We, you know, we have to have a committee meeting and discuss that. We're not sure what this is, right? But we trust the experts that it's not the vaccine. I mean, that we know. We know it's not the vaccines. It's something else. We don't know what the reason is, but without a doubt, it's not the fucking jab, right? That's not what's killing all these young people. So we can, you know, jab the babies, and we can get ready for the umpteenth booster because, you know, there's no possible way that it could be that we know. But that's the only major variable that's changed. Huh. We'll have to, you know what, trust the science, the myth of the scientism. The experts, those who weave the myth of the scientism, will tell us what's actually happening at some point. In the meantime, just get jabbed, get boosted, boost your kids. And, you know, if 84% more young people, you know, in what, 60, 70,000 dead people under the age of 44, more than usual in a nine-month period, really going to do in the great scheme of things? It's not a big deal. We'll find a cure and an explanation for it, I'm sure. Give me a fucking break. This is a voluntary genocide, and we all did it to ourselves. Good job, you dumb fucks. Now, when I say we, you're like, oh, I didn't. I was telling people, Rex. Well, you know, so was I. Obviously, I didn't do a good enough job. People got jabbed. Now, you know, that's a not a direct fault, right? But indirectly, we're responsible for it. Now, it's a direct fault if you didn't speak up. May God have mercy on all of us. That's how we have to live in his mercy, because this is insanity. You know, what we're actually we're not suffering a COVID pandemic. I don't think we ever were. But that's besides the point. We're going to keep playing pandemic. We're actually suffering a pandemic. It's just we're suffering a Gnostic pandemic of dissident gnosis because of lack of noetic illumination. Rex, I don't even know what that means. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? What is gnosis? What is noesis? See, gnosis is knowledge. That's all it means, really. But the Gnostic pandemic is a pandemic of knowledge without God, an early Christian heresy, and it has metastasized. And noetic illumination is the true intellect that is, for lack of a better analogy, and I'm not an expert in this, by the way, so you should figure it out, you know, look up what a noose is yourself, and I'm not talking about the kind of noose that Bubba Wallace found hanging in his garage, or Juicy Smollett put around his neck, because, you know, it's MAGA country. Noose, N-O-U-S. It's basically your intellectual capacity to commune with God directly, the Holy Spirit. And for most of us, it's dead. Even when you try to revive it, it stays dead because you can't revive it. Only God can revive it. But you've got to declutter the receptor. But that's what we're lacking, noetic illumination. Western liberal, again, when I say liberal, libertarian, conservative, Marxist, it's all liberalism. Western liberal democratism has enslaved the human being into a consuming cog in the bankster's productive machine based on the ideology of negation. And that frenetic pace of producing and consuming and accumulating and ingesting and being dazzled by the arrays of banal, frivolous entertainments and distractions is what keeps us decluttered. As C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters,
when the demon wants to distract the man from God, he doesn't argue with him about theology, because that'll make the man think of God. He doesn't manifest as some kind of frightening otherworldly entity, because that'll make the man think of God. The way that you distract the man from thinking about God is you make him think about his sandwich. Morning, working and toiling away to earn the useless bits of currency so he can buy GMO junk food, right? And he's thinking about lunch. What kind of nitrate-laden GMO cold cut am I going to put in my sandwich? It's the best way to get us to stop thinking about God. That's true negation. And I'm not talking about negation in the apophatic sense of apprehending the ineffable truth, but negation in the sense of non-being. It's non-ideological, it's content-free, it's basically value-free nihilism. You got to cut that shit out. That's killing you. You're watching nothing, and nothing looks back at you and sees nothing. Why is there nothing when there should be something? If you see what you want to see and hear what you want to hear, you cannot notice that you see and hear nothing but phantom inkblots that mimic something and offer nothing, masking that which can be seen and heard but isn't. The modern world is basically a giant Rorschach test. They show you fucking inkblots, and you project whatever it is that you want to see into it, and they tell you, that's the right answer. Have another jelly bean to hear. Ask, request, ask to hear. Still, small voice whispering in the wind. And pray you can hear the energetic thunder of truth before it's too late. And the nothingness for which you pine becomes an endless absence from the one who made all from nothing. Because nothing doesn't exist, and nothing will never offer you rest. Now, what does this have to do with liberty's thunder and policy? Everything. It has nothing has everything to do with it. Because until you apprehend something true, you're living for nothing and by nothing. And when I say something true, we're given partial truths, mostly good, just enough to lull you into comfort for us to smuggle in like a virus piggybacking onto something beneficial, pollutant into your thinking and acting and life. And there's nothing you can do about it within the form. Remember, there's a form here. Bypass it with your noetic faculty, for lack of a better word. But there is a form here. We have to order our lives in some way. That's what the vaunted rule of law for. We're a nation of laws, not men. Really? Because I look around, I don't see any laws. I see a lot of men, mostly fucking idiots. According to the law under which you live, in a state of emergency, and we are in a state of emergency, have been for a long time, the laws do not apply. But you must follow orders. Mask mandates are not law, but you must follow orders. Vaccine mandates are not law, but you must follow orders. In the 21st century, this is apparently called the free world. Therefore, a puppet of those who impose the emergency can violate everybody's rights and be hailed a hero, like Justin and Jacinda and Joe.
However, one who resists the tyrants is by definition a dictator and thug, quelling the agitators of those who imposed an emergency on you. Remember, Putin is bad because Putin isn't doing what the globalist oligarchs want. He's doing what's best for Russia, which, interestingly enough, is what's best for Ukraine and Europe and you and the rest of the world. Maybe not China, although they could take advantage of it. The world is being divided. Here's the dark part. This is when you curl up in a ball and fetal position and cry, I'm not going to listen to Rex anymore. He's mean. He says things I don't want to hear. Why is he so mean and negative? I'm not negative. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. And I'm giving you the facts as I see them. And the picture is bleak. It's a horrible fucking bleak picture. I didn't make it this way. It is this way. And you need to deal with the world as it is, not as you wish it would be. But the world is being divided, and you and me are on the wrong side of the digital iron curtain that is about to close. And where is this digital iron curtain closing? It's closing on the, quote, free world. Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, the United States, Canada. It's basically closing on what we call French and the Spanish and the Italians to speak different languages, but basically the Anglophone. I mean, the second de facto language in every one of those countries is English, if not the primary, right? It's closing on essentially what is now called the British Commonwealth. And by the way, you're a part of that, whether you want to be or not. I mean, we Brexited in 1776, but we're back under the fold. And, it's a misnomer to call it the British Commonwealth, because the British Empire ended, and it became the British Commonwealth, the Commonwealth Nations, when the empire moved west to America. But it's still all British Empire. Keep in mind that in the late British Empire, it wasn't the British Empire. It's run out of the city of London by non-Brits. I mean, they might be British, but they're not really British. It's the British Empire. Iron Curtain is closing. You know, when Winston Churchill said it was closing, he meant the Warsaw countries, the Warsaw Pact nations, and the Iron Curtain was imposed by the Soviet Union, and we were the free world. Well, the free world, the British Empire, is now going to be behind the digital Iron Curtain. And the rest of the world is not putting up with this shit, which is, precarious situation. We'll see how it turns out. But in the free world, you're either dissident or inmate. Those are your choices. Pretty stark. It's pretty bleak. But you know what? Sometimes, as dangerous as it is, you could be killed. Being a dissident can be fun. More importantly, it's the right thing to do. You have been conditioned to slavery, to the rule of law, by the rule of lie. That's how they get you. See, because law without truth is an open prison for mind slaves. Even when the law was given to Moses by God himself, the truth. Now, it depends on how you interpret it. And Israel was a fickle people wandering around the desert. But nevertheless, they were given the law. And that law was fulfilled in Christ, who is the truth. But law without truth is an open prison for mind slaves. If we pass positive man-made laws that do not comport with the truth, then those laws will trend towards being a prison for mind slaves. You will own nothing, you will know nothing, and you will believe everything you're told, and you'll be happy. This is the Great Reset. You will know nothing, you will believe everything you're told, and you'll be happy. This is where we're going, folks. And I mean, keep in mind something, right? They give you things to be outraged about that are legitimately something to be outraged about. But they package it in a way where, like in a jujitsu psyop, they use your momentum and rage against you. See, if you're concerned about the sudden emergence of the Ministry of Truth, or what do they call it, the Disinformation Governance Board or some shit like that, as Elon Musk, African Tony Stark, feigns to champion free speech by appearing to buy Twitter. I say appearing because, remember, that deal's not going to close for several months. A lot that could change between now and then. But he, for now, he appears to be buying Twitter. And the left is triggered by his moves. And the NSA is organizing a discussion about the future of the Internet. I mean, this is where we are. That's a lot to digest, but it's all happening at once. Ministry of Truth, Disinformation Governance Board, Musk pretending to buy Twitter, or at least appearing to buy Twitter. I don't know if he's pretending. The left being completely triggered by Musk. How can we let billionaires own our media? I mean, other than, you know, Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and Bezos, but, you know, this guy. Wait a minute. I think we drive a Tesla, don't we? Yeah. So, wait, we're buying a product from this guy? So his profits at Tesla, the great electric car company that he didn't invent, are going to give him the money he needs to buy Twitter, where he's going to unsilence the crazy right-wing nuts? That's what's happening. And the NSA is literally having a discussion about the future of the Internet. That's not a good thing, folks. But, I mean, it's none of this is new, right? But, you know, we're very bad at remembering things. You might want to recall that 2012, right? I'm talking to you right now in 2022. So we're talking about 2012. That's 10 years, a decade. That's actually when this show started, in 2012. But the 2012 NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, added legal information operations. That's what it's called in the text of the document, information operations, a.k.a. disinformatia, disinformation, psyops, MILDEC, military deception. They added that to indefinite detention, which was already in there. Again, legal. So it was legal to lie to you for national security purposes, just as it was legal, despite wonderful sounding words of the Bill of Rights, it was legal to indefinitely detain you for the purposes of national security, or kill you for the purposes of national security. And that's exactly what happened, right? Journalist Michael Hastings was murdered by remote control in his automobile. Now, at the time, the right ignored it. The libertarian elements maybe didn't, some of us didn't, but overwhelmingly the right ignored it. It was just a car accident. I'm such a conspiracy theorist. They murdered Michael Hastings. And the right ignored it because he was a journalist for left-wing rags like BuzzFeed and Rolling Stone. And he had appearances on left-wing propaganda woke-tards like Democracy Now! So So the right, you know, ignored it because it wasn't on Fox News. And the left railed against the fascist military while the Kenyan was commander-in-chief. But you see, if the anti-war left wants to say something bad about the war machine, it's not Obama's fault. He's hip, he's cool, right? It's the military, the Pentagon. Those guys are all Republicans anyway, right? That's how the left views it. So, you know, they mourned Hastings. But today, they cheer that Seth Rich was murdered. They desire to murder Julian Assange. And they're happy to hold people indefinitely in D.C. for possibly maybe trespassing on the Capitol. It's all a game to them. It is a show put on for you to fight with each other as people are murdered and your liberty and free speech were already taken away from you many, many years before Trump and Musk. And now they're merely just, you know, formalizing consent to the tyranny they already legalized, weaponized, and employed against you. Perhaps it is time to resist. Perhaps. Maybe it isn't time to resist. Maybe it's just easier to go along and not resist. Maybe it's just easier to fight with the other side, blame them for it, as the sideless, because they are above left-right, just tyrannize all of us. As long as you don't piss off the regime, they'll let you have your baubles and your cheap thrills. They might even let you eat a little bit, you know, other than the genocide. But if you resist, there's going to be problems. So you have a duty to resist. That's the truth. Now, a couple of years ago, maybe three now, I don't remember when I wrote this, but it's, here, I'll post it for you guys on Facebook. By the way, I'm on Facebook again, Rex Christie. I don't think that I'm as shadow banned as I used to be, but I'm still pretty shadow banned. You got to come to my page if you want to see stuff, but I'm going to post this picture right now. But the best place to get it is on Gab, an actual free speech platform. Yep, unless you're a pornographer, in which case, fuck off. But other than that, it's a free speech platform. Rex underscore Christie on Gab. And this is the thing that I wrote, which still applies, that was just confirmed by the greatest legal mind of our generation. August 14th, I don't know if it was 2019 or 2020, but it was back a while. Pretty soon, you will discover that the actual statutory crimes committed were very narrow, very few, and committed by a handful of lower-level operatives. The bulk of the treason will be proved to have been conducted due to, quote, flaws in the law Congress rubber-stamped, and, quote, corrective measures will be engaged to prevent this sort of, quote, mistake from happening again. Nevertheless, the traitors would have not committed any prosecutable crimes. It is becoming more and more evident that the only solution to the problem is extrajudicial. People told me that I was nuts for saying that at the time because, you know, we were still playing a trust the plan. Well, just look at what's going on with, you know, John Durham. Clearly, it appears that John Durham is going to throw some Democrats, especially those involved with the Hillary campaign, and the FBI under the bus. Now, you might think that that's a good thing, but really, they're being thrown under the bus, probably get some slaps on the wrist or some low-level people, you know, get in trouble, in order to protect the CIA, senior executive services, and the order Skull and Bones and other affiliated shadow groups. That's what's going to happen. Bill Barr just said it to some dipshit. I think it was, what's his face? Sean Spicer? Probably on. Sean's not on Fox. He's on Newsmax. A clip to kind of watch that crap. But I saw a clip where basically Bill Barr is saying, you know, oh, they did bad things, but, you know, that's not why Trump lost the election. And, you know, there's no prosecutable crimes. Nothing's going to happen to anybody. He basically just said, laughingly, jokingly, exactly what I posted a few years ago. Exactly what others have told you about, like Butch and other people have mentioned. So that's where you are. You cannot reform a corrupt system from within the form. So is it time to resist? Yes. Will you? It's going to take some balls. There's ways we can all resist, small ways and grand. You got to figure out how you can resist. See, because it is easier to hear the lies, disbelieve them, and shrug your shoulders than it is to hear the lies, disbelieve them, and speak the truth. But the sad fact, well, it's not sad, just matter of fact. It's sad how most people react to it. But a matter of fact, you either enable the lies or you crush them. Enabling lies is a crime that avoids punishment. Get that? Enabling lies is a crime that avoids punishment, or at least delays punishment, and it's often rewarded behavior. Crushing lies is always punishable as a crime by the rulers of this present darkness. And just, you know, you really have to understand that. Solzhenitsyn talked about, you know, live not by lies. It's a very seductive, comfortable, familiar, and easy thing to do. Crushing truth takes balls, takes guts, takes courage. None of us really have it on our own. We have to ask God for the courage, and we have to support and edify each other. And the distractions come fast and furious in order to keep you living in the lie. Now, just because something is used as a distraction or a misdirection or a false flag doesn't mean that it has no practical merit in and of itself. It can be both. You know, sometimes the false flags aren't really false. Sometimes they actually do the thing and use it as a false flag. Not every dead body you see in a situation that's used for the narrative is a crisis actor. Sometimes there are actual dead bodies. In Ukraine right now, there are actual dead bodies. Also in Syria, the Central African Republic, Yemen, and, you know, another dozen or so places around the world. But we don't care about those because, you know, we're focused on Ukraine. Make sure that you put the blue and yellow Nazi flag in your profile pics and follow the regime's orders because, you know, Ukraine is a democracy in which journalists are killed and Nazis reign. But it is a democracy and we stand with Ukraine. I mean, our Speaker of the House was just over there giving money to Jewish drag queen that plays a piano with his dick, giving him billions of dollars. Presumably 10% goes to the big guy, but, you know, we'll see. But, you know, other things are going on, Elon Musk or whatever, but you got to keep in mind, right? Some of these things have an importance as being part of the lie, need to be exposed, but they might not be the primary thing. They might be used to distract you from what's actually happening. But it could have merit in and of itself. See, repetitive lying words, excuse me, I've been talking for a while, I need a drink. I don't know how long I've been talking. Oh, we've gone over an hour. Anybody calling in to talk to me? All right. If you want to talk to me, most of you don't listen to this show until after it's over, and which posts it on his channels. That's Bond Robin on BitChute, Rumble, and Gab.tv. Let's see if we can, you know, get Band.tv to be interested in Liberty's Thunder. Maybe you guys can post it in the comments or tell Alex about it, or even on Cozy TV, right? You know, you guys have to spread this. Otherwise, I'm just talking into the digital airwaves for no reason, right? I'm not going to promote this shit. I mean, I'll post it, but I don't have time for that. Shit, I haven't even done a show in 2 months because I'm so sick of this whole fucking thing. But I'm under orders to speak the truth. I'm under orders to maximize the talents that I've been given to help others. So I'm back. Okay? Also because my wife wants me to have an outlet for my frustrations because she doesn't want me to go crazy on other people and probably yell at her for no reason. So help me out. I don't want to be famous. I just want to be an invisible dinosaur on the interwebs. But I'd like to be popular. And I don't have a co-host anymore, so it's just me doing this inane monologue. But there's some good nuggets in here, and you need to share it with people. I know a lot more people are doing live streams and things of that nature these days. You know, some of them are good. Like, you know, Jay Dyer's are excellent. Bond Robbins' videos are excellent. But, you know, most of the stuff out there is shit. This is probably pretty good. If you don't think it's good, then just turn it off and go fuck off. But if you think it's good, you need to promote it. Where was I going? Oh, yeah, if you want to talk to me, if any of you are actually listening, I can't really tell. Well, there's a few of you on the line, but I can't tell. I mean, no one's selected the number one to talk to me, so I'm not going to bring you on if you don't want to be on. But if you do want to talk to me, 646-649-1013, 646-649-1013. All right, what the hell was I talking about? I was probably talking about something interesting, but I don't remember. Let me get my thoughts and have a drink of water here. In the meantime, just listen to this.
America, America.
Okay, I think I was talking about repetitive lying words. So, repetitive lying words, coated in the anodyne sweetness of familiar emotion and images blurring past at hyperkinetic speed, condition the receiver to accept the lies and react unconsciously to cues for the purpose of undermining the apprehension of truth. That's disinformation. That's misinformation. Why did I talk about myths? Because you have to believe in myths. Now, you should believe in true myths, revealed myths. We all believe myths, even if we don't believe the true revealed myths. Whether it's science-based myths, science fiction-based myths, some kind of Eastern spirituality. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I don't subscribe to any kind of organized religion. I'm much more spiritual. Stop and think about what you're saying. That's so fucking stupid. Of course you're spiritual. We're all spiritual. That doesn't make you unique, right? And you're not a spirit trapped in a human skin suit. You're a human being, a broken one, fallen, who has the opportunity to be healed. But, you know, I do an organized religion. Well, how do you think God reveals stuff and hands it down from generation to generation? And let's be clear, what you call, quote, organized religion are the most disorganized fucking things that I've ever experienced. But the truth, the right thinking, right believing, right worshiping truth is so beautiful. But it can't be talked about. I mean, it can be, but not by me. I'm not eloquent enough to do that. It has to be experienced. You really need to get yourself to a true Orthodox divine liturgy to experience it. But you also have to be predisposed. Otherwise, just like reading the Bible, it falls on deaf ears. But, you know, you really have to understand that we're constantly bombarded with hypnotic lies. And you are the subject at which the objects are hurled by those who seek to make you complicit in your own manipulation. And like monkeys in a cage, you throw shit at each other and yourselves. It isn't hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, right? It's far less of that. It's see the deceits and speak the spells, calling the evil good and the good evil, to symphonize the inauthenticity and harmonize the self-deception, to overcome the self-inflicted alienation we suffer for lack. That lack is our turning away from God who created us. We all do it. Since our first parents did it, we have all done it. That's the ancestral sin that originally expelled us from paradise. We all have it. There's a million different ways to explain it, and in psychoanalysis, they affirm it. But the truth of the matter is, we lack because we've turned away. We missed the mark. A lack felt deeply because we choose to fill it with the immediate and proximate distraction rather than seeking the fullness that is far across the abyss and yet closer to you than yourself. That's where all this stems from. We believe the lies. We speak the lies. And sometimes the lies have such an echo of truth and affirm the lie we've already accepted that we think that the new lie is part of the same paradigm and accepted as truth when in fact it's a lie. Sort of like the whole free speech thing. First of all, the First Amendment says that you have a right to free speech. And somehow you think those magic words on an 18th century piece of parchment give you the ability to speak freely. Well, they don't.
Oh, no, Rex, that's not what they do. Basically, I have the right to free speech. It was given to me by God. The Constitution simply says the government can't prevent me from having free speech. Oh, well, great. That's fucking working out wonderfully for you, isn't it? Let's get over these stupidities, okay? There's no fucking First Amendment protection of free speech. They fucking violate it all the time. They've got indefinite detention of people for free speech exercise in the D.C. gulag. Deplatformed, right? You know, they booted everybody that they didn't like off all the platforms. They depersoned Alex, Nick Fuentes, and so many other people. Fucking stupid to, like, cling to that stupid, tired old idea. It's ruined. And you're basically fighting the last battle when you talk about that. I mean, if you really think free speech is an issue, you're actually one of those who is incapable of enjoying free speech. You have free speech. You say whatever you want. You can write whatever you want. Will anybody be able to read it, and will you be punished for it? Well, that's a different matter altogether. Right? Sort of like when you get arrested, they read your Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. Well, no fucking shit. Free speech means I also have the right to not fucking speak. It's innate in who I am. It has nothing to do with any magic words you wrote in any fucking law. I have the right to not speak, and I have the right to speak. Now, you can also stop me from speaking or force me to speak, although that one's probably a little more difficult. Now, I'm speaking right now, and they don't care. Probably because nobody's listening. And even if they were, people would just think that this is some nut job on the internet who's been ranting and raving for 10 fucking years about stuff that, you know, I don't really understand. Okay, great. Fuck it. And move on. But free speech is not the issue. They make it the issue. The slogan for the right, well, I mean, the left uses it too, but they understand it in different ways. Right? You hell was I talking about? I think I was talking about free speech. Yeah. So those concerned with free speech are the slothful idiots, probably some of you, I know it's some of you because I see it on my social media, who crave to have information curated for them. From the boomers who get all their right-wing nonsense from Fox fucking News to the internet spurgs who have their favorite little, you know, Reddit space or whatever the fuck, right? You're getting curated information. Or your fucking Zuckerberg feed, where Zuck decides which of the stuff I posted you get to see. Or when I get booted or shadow banned, you still don't go over and join me on Gab, which is actually a free speech platform. Slothful, lazy idiots who want to have information curated for them. Now, I get it. We're all busy. We got shit to do. It's hard to keep up, you know, between the kids and the job and the business and the activities and church and all the craziness. It's tough. That's by design. The system is designed to fuck you. Until you understand that the system is designed to fuck you, you won't know why it's all so crazy. You have to willfully and thoughtfully construct something better for yourself, your community, your family, and grow from there. Okay? That's what you have to do. It's about parallel economies and building something real. And that's talked about on Gab by Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab, who sees what he's doing as a mission given him by Christ. I don't agree with everything Andrew Torbett says and does, but guess what? I'm not running his fucking business. I'm using his platform. And, you know, he has the right to say it. And I have the right to say I don't believe you, right? But we can at least talk about it. So that's really an important thing. Get on Gab, not Truth Social. Fucking Truth Social, are you kidding me? Unless you have bought a Tim Apple product, and Trump is shilling for Tim Apple products, you can't even fucking use Truth Social. It's just another hurting mechanism like Getter, the Twitter killer, cancel culture. I mean, I'm on Getter. I was booted off for a long time. Jason Miller didn't like something I said about him and his Chinese sugar daddy, right? So they kind of shadow banned me by I couldn't log into my fucking account. Then all of a sudden it just, you know, happened, right? Now I only go over there because I figure that there's a lot of right-wing retards that are over there, but I'm guessing a lot of them are now going back to Twitter because of Elon. Going back to Twitter. I won't be going back to Twitter. I actually tried to log into one of my 4 accounts that have been banned, and it wouldn't let me. So it's not as free as you think that it is, okay? But censorship and free speech are not the reason why modern mass society is insane. Rather, it is the demoralization of man, removing your morality, the hypnotic seduction of mass society, and the de-Christianization of culture that yields lemmings willing to make insanity pervasive and degeneracy endemic. That's the problem. The information is available. How the fuck do you think some of us can actually tell you what happened, or that they're willing to declassify certain information, or that they're willing to let people say certain things, right? Because the information's there. It's available. The truth is apprehendable. The truth makes himself known if you ask. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask, it shall be given. The truth is apprehendable. The truth has conquered. You have the power to spurn truth. You have the power to believe the familiar lies and accept your own insanity as not only normative, but desired. The time for excuses is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's the hour of decision. God have mercy on us all. You're a person. You're a human person. If you don't think human beings are persons, simply talking animals. You believe you can reprogram their subroutines. Why am I talking about this all of a sudden? Is it a transition? It seems like a non sequitur. Because Elon is buying Twitter. African Tony Stark is at least appearing to buy Twitter. And everybody on the right has got like a super hard-on for what this is going to do for free speech. This is coming from, for lack of a better word, a technocrat welfare queen who is allegedly a fucking genius, but he seems like a fucking moron to me. I mean, he stuck his dick in Amber Heard. That's kind of all that needs. Oh, so did Johnny Depp. Well, I never said Johnny Depp was a fucking genius. He never claimed to be a genius. Johnny Depp is a fucking rock and roll actor who, you know, got a job as, I mean, rock and roll performer, got a job as an actor. Apparently, you know, that's what he's stuck doing. But Elon wants to put a fucking chip in your brain. A chip. Why would he want to do that? Because he doesn't think that you're a person. He thinks he can reprogram your subroutine. And if you believe you're an animal, you know, because we spontaneously grew out of the primordial ooze when some lightning hit it somewhere, and that evolved into a bacteria, and that bacteria became a multi-celled organism, and then plants, and then, you know, some of the fish, and then the fish crawled on land, and then it became a monkey, and then the monkeys were fucking, and somehow when the monkeys were fucking, boom, a human baby popped out, which somehow became conscious. But it's part of the hive consciousness that was in a singular human baby from monkeys fucking. And now it's just we're basically a sophisticated animal at one with the universe because life came out of nothing and the universe just spontaneously grew out of the primordial ooze. And, you know, we're sophisticated animals, but it's time for us to take control of the next step in evolutionary development and make it more better evolution. That's what we're working on. It's the next step in developing a human animal into something glorious like a Muskborg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile. That's your free speech fucking advocate, people? I mean, what are you, fucking retarded? I mean, just think about that. If you believe you're an animal and not a person, they're going to succeed in reprogramming your fucking subroutines. Most of your filthy animals anyway. And look how easily on cue they get us to do stuff. I mean, you know, I just brought up Johnny Depp, right? That's a distraction. The whole fucking trial is a distraction. Now, some of you are out there going, see, they're airing the Johnny Depp trial, but they didn't air the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Well, no shit, they didn't air the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. That was a cover-up to put it away so that you won't find out all the stuff that, you know, Epstein didn't kill himself about. Now, the Johnny Depp trial is not some kind of conspiracy here. It serves its purpose as a distraction. He's the one that wanted it aired because he's the one that's been abused by this cunt and her media acolytes and hangers-on, which is just bizarre because she's like a shark-eyed twat that shit the bed. But the Depp trial, or the Depp defamation suit, is actually quite fascinating, not only from a sociological aspect, but from a legal aspect. And it actually has a huge implication, and it's part of our whole, you know, demasculinizing, you know, divine feminine culture of the transmogrified, transhuman shim with the 57 genders. Don't think that that's not a part of it. But It's fascinating, but it reveals many of the problems that modernism and liberalism have caused to justice, to society, to manhood, to femininity, to financial valuation, to words, to language, to perceptions. It's right there on display. It's pretty amazing. And you have to admit that parts of it are fucking hilarious, so it's entertaining as well. But should you pay attention to it? No, it'll suck up your entire week. It's going on for 6 weeks. I mean, I literally was within 100 yards of it several times since it started. I had no idea it was even going on until it was pointed out to me. But it is a fascinating thing. But don't let it distract you from the even more important things. because there are more important things. But don't write it off as nonsense, because it's kind of all part of a piece. It's part of our culture, and the culture is part of you, whether you're combating against it or playing into it or dialectically dancing around it. It's part and parcel of your experience here, right? So it is important, because we're on the brink of tomorrow. On the brink of tomorrow, we shall fall into the abyss or rise into a bright new future. That's where we are. We're having a trial about an actor who was accused of being abusive when there's zero evidence of it, simply because the cunt that he married was using him for money and fame. And then she clearly manipulated your fucking genius Twitter free speech advocate, Elon Musk, into sticking his dick in her, and he's footing the bill for all of her shit, right, and trying to avoid being subpoenaed for the trial, and he's allegedly the sperm donor to this cum dumpster for her lab-created baby, and this is your fucking free speech hero. See how it all ties in? It's fucking insane. And she literally shit the bed. This chick is fucking nuts and an icon of where your culture is. It's fucking shit. Like I said at the beginning, the West is dead. You live among the ruins. These are the fucking ruins. It's not worth resuscitating it. Build something better. But you got to be in touch with truth and reality if you want a bright new future. As you see, the progressives are progressing toward the same thing conservatives are trying to conserve, which is to say, like we said earlier, nothing, as in no thing. We are in the age of nihilism and democratism, and it is coming to an end, and nobody knows what comes next, because man's ideologies amount to nothing. When I say nobody knows what comes next, Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates don't know what's coming next. They have plans. They have things they want to do to you. Elon Musk wants to put a chip in your fucking brain. Bill Gates wants to fucking shoot you up with snake venom. And Klaus Schwab wants you to own nothing and be very fucking happy. Right? But they're not going to get these things. So nobody knows what's coming. Other than, you know, there's going to be a lot of death and destruction. Modern liberal democratic government is really not a form of government. It's more of a state of mind in which people who do things, let me get a drink here, people who do things engage a sterile ritual that pretends to select the government officials who do nothing but engage in public rituals to pretend to listen to experts and pass commensurate mandates about things which they know nothing about from the testimony of experts who do nothing on behalf of capitalist financiers who do nothing in order to gain power and control over the people who actually do things. They build everything on your back and punish you for it. Thank you for your participation. We're all in this together. Do the prescribed ritual to support the current thing. Nothing will happen, but it's very important to pretend that that somehow matters. You know what you call this? Well, other than insanity? That's a formal name. It's actually an oligarchy, an oligarchic dictatorship with no borders and no limits on its power. But it runs here in the, you know, they create the algorithm, the rules that kind of put the current in place, and then down here, it's an ochlocracy. Ochlocracy. So it's an oligarchic dictatorship and an ochlocracy, which is mob rule. So that the mob tyrannize each other and be ruled by oligarchs. Right? That's the goal. So for the mob to tyrannize each other, we're the mob, right? We tyrannize each other, left versus right. Good, you know, we play these games. We tyrannize each other, and we get ruled by oligarchs. First, they have to foster corruption within themselves. Culture, which comes to us from the Latin word cult, cultus, cult, which means that which you worship and or revere. Oh, Rex, I see why you were talking about idols earlier. Exactly. When the mob sets themselves up as an idol and seeks satisfaction of unbridled passions, some men will offer satisfaction through government, and sometimes that government is, quote, corporate, not public, public-private partnership, but basically it's all part and parcel of the governing mechanism, even if it isn't the formal government. And then the government becomes God and demands worship and sacrifice. And the mob gleefully complies by sacrificing the minority on the altar of excess. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes the minority is actually a majority, but it's led to believe it's a minority, and that a lot of that majority, that a lot of that majority will kind of morph into the mob that is persecuting the vocal minority in order to ritually sacrifice them to the altar of governance and spare themselves for a little while longer so that they can be distracted by nonsense and bullshit. It's a communist dictatorship. It's totalitarian system, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to fucking call it, right? It's all liberalism, which is totalitarian. It permeates every aspect of culture, thinking, academy, doesn't matter. It's liberalism born in the age of enlightenment. See, liberty and enlightenment are good things, but those words have been perverted, and liberalism born out of the enlightenment is shit. And it doesn't matter whether it's Marxist-Leninist or Bismarckist, whether it's from the right or from the left, doesn't matter. It isn't communism per se, but it isn't exactly capitalist either, which are, there's not much of a difference between those two economic financial ideologies anyway, right? You may as well call it Bretton Woods, because the system of control is the invisible hand of currency, allegedly a unit of account that doesn't actually exist, but it is manifested as a system of controlling economy through the financialization, which is to say manipulating the, quote, free decisions of billions of human persons while culling them at the same time. And we are in the late stages of this Bretton Woods scheme, which is why we need a great reset, and a great reset we will get. What will that great reset be? I certainly don't want it to be Klaus's great reset, so you better get busy. You know what? It's almost 2 hours. Anybody want to talk? No, you're all still being pussies. That's fine. All right, we'll wrap this up with a little bit of, I think Trump's rally is tonight. I don't watch him because it fucking drives me nuts. But the fact of the matter is you got to look at things realistically. Donald Trump was the most transformative president since FDR and possibly the most disruptive since Washington, at least for the first 3 years. However, Obama and Biden get the ranking as the most effective and transformative president since Washington and Lincoln. Unfortunately, their effectiveness has been for the opposite reasons than many of the others. And let's be clear, I mean, Brandon's a retard, and Obama's not as impressive as his, you know, TV appears to indicate. Right, neither man is particularly impressive or accomplished, and both can be considered grifters, really, they can be, and intelligence assets. The permanent state, which is the government and the corporate oligarchs, right? And the military establishment. The permanent state has accomplished more destruction toward the people of the United States of America and the world than any president since Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act. Obama and Biden, or at least under their banner, right, they've fomented more destruction than any president since Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act. That's a fact. The financialization system is what keeps you on the hook and allows them to appropriate real resources. Now, Trump 2015 to 2019 did a fantastic job. Between 2015 coming down the escalator and 2019, he did a great job. That all fell apart in fucking March 2020. We had fun, right? We had success. We had a kick-ass economy. We had jobs, energy dominance. We exposed the permanent administrative state and its extension, the mass media, the enemy of the people, the worthless Republicans, the insane Democrats, and we had no new endless wars. Unfortunately, Trump's 2020 legacy is poisoned vaccines, inflation, which you can't blame on Biden. Inflation was done under Trump by the fabrication of over $8 trillion of new money shoved into the system, masked by the fact that we shut down the entire country, and by his accomplishment, which was energy dominance, where gas was well under $2 a gallon, and you can put that squarely on the Brandon administration's shoulders because of part of their climate agenda, to rip you off, right? But basically, I mean, poison vaccines, inflation, Americans still rotting in the D.C. gulag for maybe trespassing. They get no due process. And then, of course, we got a lot of Mitch McConnell's shitty fucking judges. That sucks. You can't take away the accomplishments that were done in the first 3 years, but that legacy now kind of sucks. And it's not fun to say that. And I would love to see a comeback happen, but there is practically no path for that. A lot of things have to change before that can happen. It could have been the great turning in America and the world, but we, the collective we, all of us, including perhaps especially Trump himself, fucked it up. Now, we didn't fail as badly as those with power did, but we have to admit that our efforts yielded nothing, at least so far, other than exposure, which is actually a pretty big deal, right? We exposed them to more people than ever. That's huge. But that doesn't change the fact that we're still behind enemy lines and the weakened economy is more dangerous because we've wounded them. They're pissed about that. They're pissed that we elected Trump and they're punishing us for it. And I told you that they would do this before he was even out of office. Unfortunately, it's easy for us to squander the gains we've made because they're engineering a reversal, a cover-up, and a forgetting in the midst of this final solution. Final solution. When the president uses the term genocide, and I'm saying the president, I'm talking about President Trump, when he uses the term genocide regarding Ukraine, but not the COVID vaccines, you know he's been neutralized. A fact to fucking swallow, but it's there. And the only way out of this death valley is through it. And the means by which to do that are not fucking pretty, people. You got to prepare yourself for this. You got to keep in mind MAGA, the MAGA movement, Make America Great Again, America First, is bigger and darker than President Trump. It began long ago. It reached its first major modern advent with the Tea Party in the latter part of George W. Vagina Bush's presidency. I had to abandon the free market to save the free. You guys, you know what? Some of you still don't believe that he actually fucking said that because he's a fucking idiot. Here.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
Yep, that's him. George W. Vagina Bush. Mission accomplished. So that's when it kind of began, and then it was an anger, a cold anger, and a movement to try to right the ship, seeing how bad things were, that Trump basically rode the wave up. And he really did a magnificent job with that. But, you know, now we're going to have Durham throw the FBI under the bus to protect the CIA. We got Bill Barr saying no one's going to get prosecuted. You know, it's bleak, right? It's bad. It's going to be an extrajudicial solution. Remember, look, they rigged the 2020 election in order to remove Trump and install Biden so they can blame all of their crimes on Biden. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't criticize Biden and we shouldn't take him down because he's fucking worthless, but, I mean, let's be clear. Your next two choices in the current legal framework are Montel Williams whore, who's even dumber than Biden doesn't have the excuse of dementia, and Nancy Pelosi, that twitchy bitch. Oh, it's not a good situation, right? And even if the Republicans are the majority when this happens, that means Kevin McCarthy. That's fucking pathetic, right? And this is when the Republicans tell me, well, at least Kevin McCarthy's better than Nancy Pelosi. Is he? Is he? Where the fuck do you come up with that? So they want to blame all of the crimes on Biden. They're going to take Biden out. Not maybe immediately, but at some point it's all going to be laid at his feet because he's, you know, they're done with him. And the woke left is another thing they're going to pin it on. They're going to tell you that, you know, the wokeism has, and they're already shifting in that way. The wokeism has been damaging, and that's why the Republicans are winning, and there's going to be a wave, and the Democrats need to stop this. And so the Democrats will pivot towards the center and become the sober, blue-collar Democrats of old, in the mold of like a Joe Manchin, who the right likes because he's been a great hero in stopping Biden's agenda, right? And you'll tell all those Trump Republicans, come back to the Democrat Party. We've got a sober, blue-collar candidate. Don't fall for those evil Republicans, and we get rid of our woke tarts. That's the game they'll play. And they're going to want to run against, you know, a Republican nationalist who speaks America first and has America first creds and is really just a fucking neocon. Like, I don't know, CIA Director Mike Pompeo. That's where they're taking this thing. And if you're playing electile masturbation, you aren't gaining a thing save more tyranny toward the Great Reset of the craven New World Order. When you realize that Trump was the last gasp of liberalism, you might be able to change the trajectory of decay. That's where we are. And now, today's May 1st, so I think it's officially Grand Old Pussy's primary season. And the mantra, as always, is vote for the most conservative-sounding primary candidate who can be permitted to win the general election. And the translation of that is vote for GO pussies who sound like they support America First policies that will be allowed to win the general election to defend Democrat policies while cucking you on Fox News and Newsmax. That's what that is. This is all about managing the inevitable Republican victory in November. No question the Republicans are going to win in November. So, you know, vote hard. Vote real fucking hard. Because that's what matters, right? Voting to pretend to elect Republicans. Important. Because it's part of the narrative of the now. The narrative of the now is all that matters. It's always now. The current thing, right now. Forget anything that happened before. Just focus on right now. This dialectic of the now empowers conservatives to expose hypocrisy over and over and over again. Conservatives always fight yesterday's battles with the hypocrisy of the now. It is always now. Conservatives conserve the liberal errors in principle. Progressives push the liberal errors in the extreme. And the argument of the now is always about degree, never about kind. It's always liberalism. Either we conserve the errors of the past or we project and progress into the errors of the future. But it's never about changing it. And you libertarians who always, it's a false left-right paradigm, be libertarian. You guys are fucking liberals. That's, oh, well, yeah, but we're classic liberals. That's the good kind. Well, fuck you. That's how we got here. Oh, we can get back to where we were in, you know, the 18th century. Fuck no, we can't. You naive ideological morons. In the dialectic of being versus non-being, there is no synthesis. But your ideology is a vain attempt to synthesize something with nothing. Hence, you're insane. Perhaps you should consider shedding your ideology. That's it. Because you can't reform this government. You can't get it back. You've lost the schools, the churches, the commercial enterprises, the means of communication, almost everything. It can't be fixed. You can't fix it. You can either submit to it or form your own government. But not in the, you know, libertarian individual secession way, right? We have to do it all together. So that probably won't happen. But we are the majority. We make the things work. They're the few, but they own everything. That's the lay of the battle. That's how you have to get people to understand it. that you allow it because you accept it. Because you're liberal, modernist, post-Christian zombie Zek in the American Gulag. That's where you are. So vote Republican and watch nothing happen. You know what? We're almost at 2 hours. None of you have called in, and I'm fucking getting pissed off. So I'm going to start shutting this down. I have a couple of... Okay, you know, this is interesting. Let's do this. This is from last time, but I think it's relevant now. The fire is not in the rooftops. The fire is in the minds of men. Men possessed by the Promethean lust for power. Enter the age of the Promethean AI nanotech in a panopticon of metamorphosis from fallen man to transhuman chimerical monsters ruled by disembodied alien beings in an extraterrestrial biological entity hoax glossing over the apotheosis of fiends into demigods of hell. Truth and lies are irreconcilable, and most of us seek the truth as we live in lies. This irreconcilable conflict causes interior tumult and exterior conflict. It cannot be synthesized or explained away. Only a renewal, a transformation of the mind and transfiguration of the heart-mind can reconcile us to the truth and slaughter the lie. This is the perennial conflict of the ages, and our task is to heal the cosmos. So tremble, because it is a daunting task. But I really want you to think. We use manipulation techniques, neurolinguistic programming. It's basically a play on ethos, pathos, logos, using ethos, which is language. It's behaviorism. It's manipulation. It's thought crime. It's stupidity. It's psyops. It's diabolical inversion. It's scientism. It's, you know, what do they call it, Dunning-Kruger? It's the Freddy Krueger nightmare as a dream state in the simulation, the banal Matrix and Marvel multiverse. You're smarter than the group, but the group follows the experts, and you don't think you have enough gravitas to shun the group, so you play along and live the lie. In the secular world, we all live the lie to one degree or another, especially if our group identity is prominent in the dialectical deceit. I'm a conservative. I'm a liberal. Why? Because the secular world is fallen, and the powers and principalities that dominate it weave myths based on perverted perception of truth. Take. Eat. It's good fruit. You will not die. You will become like gods. But without God. But without God, all three of him, you cannot become gods. We simply become immortal terrors forever in death. Yet God himself dived into Hades and trampled death by death to give you eternal life. Not simply immortality, but theosis, deification. We can become like gods in Christ, the only true human, the Logos who energizes the Logoi. And with God in us, the Holy Spirit himself, we can conquer the passions, live the virtues, and speak the truth, be the truth, live in truth. You know, the Desert Fathers extricated themselves from the world to do just that. We who live in the secular world are called to confront the lie with truth, even if we fall victim to the lies as we struggle, because we have faith in the truth himself and the Paraclete whom he sent us from the Father. Let me read you a little bit from Power of the Powerless, Vaclav Havel, before I sail out of here. It's a good read. It's a short read, but it's not necessarily an easy read, but it's very good. ideology in creating, this is on page 20, ideology in creating a bridge of excuses between the system and the individual spans the abyss between the aims of the system and the aims of life. It pretends that the requirements of the system derive from the requirements of life. It is a world of appearances trying to pass for reality. The post-totalitarian system touches people at every step, but it does so with its ideological gloves on. This is why life in the system is so thoroughly permeated with hypocrisy and lies. Government by bureaucracy is called popular government. The working class is enslaved in the name of the working class. The complete degradation of the individual is presented as his or her ultimate liberation. Depriving people of information is called making it available. The use of power to manipulate is called the public control of power. And the arbitrary abuse of power is called observing the legal code, the rule of law. The repression of culture is called its development. The expansion of imperial influence is presented as support for the oppressed. The lack of free expression becomes the highest form of freedom. Farcical elections become the highest form of democracy. Banning independent thought becomes the most scientific of worldviews. Military occupation becomes fraternal assistance. Because the regime is captive to its own lies, it must falsify everything. It falsifies the past, it falsifies the present, and it falsifies the future. It falsifies statistics, it pretends not to possess an omnipotent and unprincipled police apparatus, it pretends to respect human rights, it pretends to persecute no one, it pretends to fear nothing, it pretends to pretend nothing. Think about that. Page 44. When I speak of living within the truth, I naturally do not have in mind only products of conceptual thought, such as a protest or letter written by a group of intellectuals. It can be any means by which a person or group revolts against manipulation. Anything from a letter by intellectual to a worker's strike, from a rock concert to a student demonstration, from refusing to vote in the farcical elections to making an open speech at some official Congress or even a hunger strike. For instance, if the suppression of the aims of life is a complex process, and if it is based on the multifaceted manipulation of all expressions of life, then by the same token, every free expression of life indirectly threatens the post-totalitarian system politically, including forms of expression to which in other social systems no one would attribute any potential political significance, not to mention explosive power. This is what you have to do. Because as Aldous Huxley told us, people can be made to love their servitude. And George Orwell, in 1984, which is the operating manual for the Disinformation Governance Board and the little cunt that they put in charge of it, until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. Former President Kennedy, one of only three U.S. presidents never to take a salary. General George Washington, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and Donald John Trump. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And we were warned, and we didn't listen. In 1961, we were told, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger of that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. President Eisenhower. A daunting task ahead. Machiavelli. It must be remembered that there is nothing more difficult to plan, more doubtful of success, nor more dangerous to manage than a new system. For the initiator has the enmity of all who would profit by the preservation of the old institution and merely lukewarm defenders and those who gain by the new ones. Parallel economies must be developed. Resistance is not futile. Resistance is your duty. Alexander conquered the known world and Hellenized it. When God was done with him, he killed him in Iraq. Gaius Julius Caesar moved Rome from republic to empire. And then Augustus created the Pax Romana. God killed both of them when mission was accomplished. Constantine was lured from Britain to Christianize Rome. And God kept him alive until he accepted baptism. Richard Plantagenet conquered all the way to Jerusalem, but God did not want his city under Anglo-Saxon control. So it was not conquered, and it fell to the Kurds. Hitler and Napoleon changed the map, but both failed when God chose that their plans were too ambitious. All great generals execute based on natural skill, and God decides the outcome. We'll see what happens. Our apprehension of reality is both sensible and intelligible. And due to limitation, it is necessarily theory-laden. And that is why we have to believe in myths. But they better be the revealed myths of truth. And sometimes the fictitious myths can express truth. The end is a slow burn. It's nearly imperceptible. Then all of a sudden, it is over. Between now and then, anything can happen because nobody examines the fundamental reality that drives events. We live in a delusion, and only those with the courage to look outside familiar presuppositions and inside at the ugly, twisted desires can see it. We are in the desert, and we are drifting toward nothing, but it is a desert polluted by shiny techne, consumer things, technological consumer things of no import. And talking monkeys play with the toys the lizards hand out as they deal in death. The aged, who should be wiser, are fading from the scene. The young, who should be responsible, are ill-equipped to handle the third and final act. It is midnight in the west, and the sun rises in the east. We're told to rage against the dying of the light. Unfortunately for the west, the light has departed. The only thing illuminating the west are the dark eyes of the five, a dead husk of an uncivilized civilization, a wasteland of nothingness. The week ends on the seventh day, and we will find no rest in the cacophony of modernity. But the eighth day approaches, and the sun rises. Hope is within you. I challenge you to look inside. This life is experimental, as in experimental, as in it is a mental experience taking place in the flesh. That which we see, hear, and sense is broken, and we sense it with broken faculties. Hence it is a chaotic mess, but all was made good and ordered rightly by the author of reality. This is the conundrum. How can the wounded denizens of a broken experiment ever get anything right? We get it right with the help of uncreated energy, given us by God in a mode in which we can receive it. The human condition, unnatural as it is, has already been assumed by God and healed. Our task is to adhere to the truth in this chaotic experiment. Come to sanity and healing and prepare for the most excruciating and exciting experience possible in this fleeting aeon. The sun has already set on the west, and we are in the early hours of a long, dark night. Rejoice! History begins on Golgotha. You are living in the now of history. You always live in the great now of his story. Now and ever and unto ages of ages. The economic, in the classic sense, the economic as in home, household, management. The economics of history is the unfolding of the corruption of fallen man and angel, and the heroes manifest the uncreated light of God, all three of him. We could be heroes. Conquer or die trying. The sun always rises. Christ is risen. We need illumination and the path begins with purification and desire for the quickening. Otherwise, you are simply a ghost in the machine, walking corpse, awaiting the end that never comes. Live the life of Christ in your heart. Repent. Be transformed in the renewal of your mind. And go forth and conquer the darkness, the light of Christ. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. 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 This is Rex, signing off. And the thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Doing to us, China, everyone, they're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.